In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Dear faithful, the parable that Jesus recounts today ought to give us reason to stop and think about our own spiritual life. Of course, he's not talking about the proper etiquette for attending weddings and other big parties. Rather, he's talking about the conscious and unconscious decisions we all make about our relationship with God. First of all, God extends an invitation to salvation. And for a variety of reasons, a surprising number of people say no to God's invitation. It may be like many of God's chosen people, they are looking for the wrong thing. God offers them holiness, but they are looking for social prestige or political connections or economic advantage. Or perhaps God offers them the faith, but they are unwilling to accept the responsibilities of Catholic behavior that go along with being a Catholic. God touches their hearts, but so does the devil. And so their seduced strike back into their bad behavior. Or maybe they are just simply lazy. Too lazy to get to Mass on Sunday, too lazy to learn anything about their faith, too lazy to pray. Some, like the people in the parable, even react brutally. God extends an invitation to them, but they respond only with hatred, trying to claim that God and religion are the source of the world's troubles. Sometimes this sort of hatred even bubbles over into violence and revolutions. The history books are filled with this kind. The parable goes on to say that when the wedding party was finally filled with guests, the king came in and found one who had refused to dress properly for the occasion. Looks cruel, particularly when we know that the master has for everyone. And now he looks picky on the guests coming. But it's particularly insulting, since it was the custom for the host to furnish the guests with the proper attire. So this man was given the proper habit, but simply would not make use of something that was provided freely to him. And is it not that, just like the way so many of us conduct our spiritual lives, we accept God's invitation to salvation, we are baptized, we are members of the church, we come to the wedding feast, but we just go through the motions. We come to the wedding feast, but we refuse the garments of sanctifying grace. Rarely, if ever, confessing our sins and receiving the forgiveness that God so freely offers to us. Or we come to the wedding feast and we refuse to wear the garment of charity. Neither are we there because we love God, nor because we love our neighbor. Again, we refuse to use of something, the use of something that has cost nothing and earns us everything. Or we come to the wedding feast, but we refuse to do what St. Paul tells us today when he says, we must put on the new man. We claim to be Catholic externally, but we refuse to make the internal conversion that is so necessary, if that external level is to have any meaning. Or we come to the wedding feast and we refuse to eat. And that is precisely what we do if we try to be Catholics without nourishing ourselves freely with the sacraments. Or perhaps we come and refuse to spend any time in conversation with our divine host, which is what we do if we ignore prayer and meditation. This man in the Gospel showed up, but he had refused to change. Dear faithful, the lesson is clear. It's not enough simply to be on the guest list or to show up. God wants us to show up properly, vested for the kingdom and his banquets. He will provide all we need to show up fittingly attired. But we need to cooperate with his dress code. Like the parable of the prodigal son, we need to take off our swine dung, soiled rags, and allow him to put on us his finest garments. He sent out his royal tailors to vest us on the day we become his children, the day of our baptism, when we were clothed in a white garment, told to see in that white garment the outward sign of our Christian dignity, and instructed to take that dignity unstained to the eternal life of heaven. That garment is meant to grow as we grow, but it is meant to be kept white, because the banquet of the kingdom is ongoing. No matter whether it's winter or summer, we are always supposed to be dressed in our baptismal garments, dressed as a new man and woman, having put off our old selves and clothed ourselves in the new Adam. Christ himself, in his virtues, his holiness, his manner, his teaching, his risen life. In the book of Revelation, there is an image, a beautiful image, of those who get to the banquet of the kingdom of heaven, and they are adorned. It's an image of the saints, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes. St. John is told, these are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The way God cleanses our garments and makes them white is through Jesus' blood, which is the most powerful bleach ever known. But we need to be humble to let him do it. And it's first in the sacrament of baptism, and then in the continued sacramental washing machine of the confessional, that Jesus wants to bath us inwardly in that cleansing detergent that can wipe out even the darkest stains of sin. That's what we need to do to cleanse the garment of our soul, so that we are always ready for the feast. So while everyone is earnestly and eagerly invited, we cannot just come as we are and think that that's all that's needed. We cannot come as we are. We need to be willing to change, which spiritually means we have to be willing to convert. Now, to some degree, each one of us is guilty in some measure of all these things. And undoubtedly, there are additional ways in which we may attend the wedding feast while still rejecting God's hospitality, at least in part. That is why Jesus gives us this parable today, so that we might make an examination of conscience. I have been away for too long from confession or communion. I have allowed the fire of charity to grow cold, neither loving God nor my fellow men. Have I tried to look like a Catholic on the outside, yet remaining a Jew, a pagan on the inside? Have I avoided conversation with God in prayer? Questions like this may well be some of the most important we can ever ask ourselves. For the kingdom of heaven is like this very wedding feast. Even though we have accepted God's invitation for celebration, we will still be judged on the way we conduct ourselves in this life. We don't want to have come this far only to be cast into the exterior darkness. So let's make that examination of conscience and make changes where they are necessary. Let's make sure that Jesus was not talking about us when he said those words, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.